Today is the third day of November. Welcome. Welcome to the Global Campfire. Welcome back to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am grateful to be here with you today as we continue to move into this 11th month of the year, continuing our journey forward through the scriptures, day by day, step by step, surely one step in front of the other will get us at where we're going, which is through the entire Bible, so that, well, since this never ends, right, so that we can begin again. And beginning again is what we do a lot. Wake up every morning and begin again. Wake up and see the shiny, sparkly new week and begin again. And the marking of time certainly gives us a lot to reflect on, but it also allows us to mark the growth that we have experienced as we open ourselves to what the scriptures are saying to us. So we are currently in the book of Ezekiel, and we will continue to take that journey today with Ezekiel's chapters 7, 8, and 9. The Lord spoke to me. "Mortal man," he said, "this is what I, the sovereign Lord, am saying to the land of Israel. This is the end for the whole land. Israel, the end has come. You will feel my anger because I am judging you for what you have done. I will pay you back for all your disgusting conduct. I will not spare you or show you any mercy. I am going to punish you for the disgusting things you have done, so that you will know that I am the Lord." This is what the Sovereign Lord is saying. One disaster after another is coming on you. It's all over. This is the end. You are finished. The end is coming for you people who live in the land. The time is near when there will be no more celebrations at the mountain shrines, only confusion. Very soon now, you will feel all the force of my anger. I am judging you for what you have done, and I will pay you back for all your disgusting conduct. I will not spare you or show you any mercy. I am going to punish you for the disgusting things you have done, so that you will know that I am the Lord, and that I am the one who punishes you. The day of disaster is coming. Violence is flourishing. Pride is at its height. Violence produces more wickedness. Nothing of theirs will remain. Nothing of their wealth, their splendor, or their glory. The time is coming. The day is near when buying and selling will have no more meaning, because God's punishment will fall on everyone alike. No merchants will live long enough to get back what they have lost, because God's anger is on everyone. Those who are evil cannot survive. The trumpet blows and everyone gets ready, but no one goes off to war, for God's anger will fall on everyone alike. There is fighting in the streets, and sickness and hunger in the houses. Anyone who is out in the country will die in the fighting, and anyone in the city will be a victim of sickness and hunger. Some will escape to the mountains like doves frightened from the valleys. All of them will moan over their sins. Everyone's hands will be weak and their knees will shake. They will put on sackcloth and they will tremble all over. Their heads will be shaved and they will all be disgraced. They will throw their gold and silver away in the streets like garbage, because neither silver nor gold can save them when the Lord pours out his fury. They cannot use it to satisfy their desires or fill their stomachs. Gold and silver led them into sin. Once they were proud of their beautiful jewels. but they use them to make disgusting idols. That is why the Lord has made their wealth repulsive to them. I will let foreigners rob them, says the Lord, and lawbreakers will take all their wealth and defile it. I will not interfere when my treasured temple is profaned, when robbers break into it and defile it. Everything is in confusion. The land is full of murders, and the cities are full of violence. I will bring the most evil nations here and let them have your homes. Your strongest men will lose their confidence when I let the nations profane the places where you worship. Despair is coming. You will look for peace and never find it. One disaster will follow another, and a steady stream of bad news will pour in. You will beg the prophets to reveal what they foresee. The priests will have nothing to teach the people, and the elders will have no advice to give. The king will mourn, the prince will give up hope, and the people will shake with fear. I will punish you for all you have done, and will judge you in the same way as you have judged others. This will show you that I am the Lord. On the fifth day of the sixth month of the sixth year of our exile, the leaders of the exiles from Judah were sitting in my house with me. Suddenly, the power of the sovereign Lord came on me. I looked up and saw a vision of a fiery human form. From the waist down, his body looked like fire, and from the waist up, he was shining like polished bronze. He reached out what seemed to be a hand and grabbed me by the hair. Then, in his vision, God's spirit lifted me high in the air and took me to Jerusalem. He took me to the inner entrance of the north gate of the temple, where there was an idol that was an outrage to God. There I saw the dazzling light that shows the presence of Israel's God, just as I had seen it when I was by the Kibar River. God said to me, "Mortal man, look toward the north." I looked, and there, near the altar by the entrance of the gateway, I saw the idol that was an outrage to God. God said to me, "Mortal man, do you see what is happening? Look at the disgusting things the people of Israel are doing here, driving me farther and farther away from my holy place. You will see even more disgraceful things than this." He took me to the entrance of the outer courtyard and showed me a hole in the wall. He said, "Mortal man, break through the wall here." I broke through it and found a door. He told me, "Go in and look at the evil, disgusting things they are doing there." So I went in and looked. The walls were covered with drawings of snakes and other unclean animals, and of the other things which the Israelites were worshipping. 70 Israelite leaders were there, including Jaazaniah, son of Shaphan. Each one was holding an incense burner, and smoke was rising from the incense. God asked me, "Mortal man, do you see what the Israelite leaders are doing in secret? They are all worshiping in a room full of images. Their excuse is, 'The Lord doesn't see us. He has abandoned the country.'" Then the Lord said to me, "You are going to see them do even more disgusting things than that." So he took me to the north gate of the temple and showed me women weeping over the death of the god Tammuz. He asked, "Mortal man, do you see that? You will see even more disgusting things." So he took me to the inner courtyard of the temple. There, near the entrance of the sanctuary, between the altar and the porch, were about 25 men. They had turned their backs to the sanctuary and were bowing low toward the east, worshiping the rising sun. The Lord said to me, "Mortal man, do you see that? These people of Judah are not satisfied with merely doing all the disgusting things you have seen here, and with spreading violence throughout the country. No, they must come and do them right here in the temple and make me even more angry. Look how they insult me in the most offensive way possible. They will feel all the force of my anger. I will not spare them or show them any mercy. They will shout prayers to me as loud as they can, but I will not listen to them. Then I heard God shout, "Come here, you men who are going to punish the city. Bring your weapons with you." At once, six men came from the outer north gate of the temple, each one carrying a weapon. With them was a man dressed in linen clothes, carrying something to write with. They all came and stood by the bronze altar. Then the dazzling light of the presence of the God of Israel rose up from the winged creatures where it had been, and moved to the entrance of the temple. The Lord called to the man dressed in linen, "Go through the whole city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of everyone who is distressed and troubled because of all the disgusting things being done in the city." And I heard God say to the other men, "Follow him through the city and kill. Spare no one. Have mercy on no one. Kill the old men, young women, mothers, and children. But don't touch anyone who has the mark on his forehead. Start here at my temple." So they began with the leaders who were standing there at the temple. God said to them, "Defile the temple. Fill its courtyards with corpses. Get to work." So they began to kill the people in the city. While the killing was going on, I was there alone. I threw myself face downward on the ground and shouted, "Sovereign Lord, are you so angry with Jerusalem that you are going to kill everyone left in Israel?" God answered, "The people of Israel and Judah are guilty of terrible sins. They have committed murder all over the land and have filled Jerusalem with crime. They say that I, the Lord, have abandoned their country and that I don't see them. But I will not have pity on them. I will do to them what they have done to others." Then the man wearing linen clothes returned and reported to the Lord, "I have carried out your orders." Hebrews 5. Every high priest is chosen from his fellow men and appointed to serve God on their behalf, to offer sacrifices and offerings for sins. Since he himself is weak in many ways, he is able to be gentle with those who are ignorant and make mistakes. And because he is himself weak, he must offer sacrifices not only for the sins of the people, but also for his own sins. No one chooses for himself the honor of being a high priest. It is only by God's call that a man is made a high priest, just as Aaron was. In the same way, Christ did not take upon himself the honor of being a high priest. Instead, God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." He also said in another place, "You will be a priest forever in the priestly order of Melchizedek." In his life on earth, Jesus made his prayers and requests with loud cries and tears to God, who could save him from death. Because he was humble and devoted, God heard him. But even though he was God's son, he learned through his sufferings to be obedient. When he was made perfect, He became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God declared him to be high priest in the priestly order of Melchizedek. There is much more we have to say about this matter, but it is hard to explain to you because you are so slow to understand. There has been enough time for you to be teachers, yet you still need someone to teach you the first lessons of God's message. Instead of eating solid food, you still have to drink milk. Anyone who has to drink milk is still a child, without any experience in the matter of right and wrong. Solid food, on the other hand, is for adults who through practice are able to distinguish between good and evil. Psalm 105, 1-15. Give thanks to the Lord, proclaim his greatness, tell the nations what he has done. Sing praise to the Lord, tell the wonderful things he has done. Be glad that we belong to him. Let all who worship him rejoice. Go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. You descendants of Abraham, his servant, you descendants of Jacob, the man he chose, remember the miracles that God performed and the judgments that he gave. The Lord is our God. His commands are for all the world. He will keep his covenant forever, his promises for 1,000 generations. He will keep the agreement he made with Abraham and his promise to Isaac. The Lord made a covenant with Jacob, one that will last forever. I will give you the land of Canaan, he said. It will be your own possession. God's people were few in number, strangers in the land of Canaan. They wandered from country to country, from one kingdom to another, but God let no one oppress them. To protect them, he warned the kings, "Don't harm my chosen servants. Do not touch my prophets." Proverbs 26:28. You have to hate someone to want to hurt him with lies. Insincere talk brings nothing but ruin. So I want to talk about my dad for a second. A thing that he said that still sticks with me today, and my dad, he's been gone. He's been gone, well, longer than, like, he wasn't alive when the Daily Audio Bible began. So he never saw this. He was a pastor. I'm a pastor's son. He never saw, if I've ever gotten it together, he never saw me get it together. And like, if I have it together now, which is on any given day, right? But I remember him saying to me many times as like a younger, emerging kind of man, he would say, "Son, nothing good is gonna come from that." And that phrase, like, that comes, I have repeated that to my own kids, and I've repeated it to a lot of people. And it couldn't be any more appropriate for what the proverb is telling us today. You have to hate someone to want to hurt him with lies. Insincere talk brings nothing but ruin. So when we live in falseness and untruth, and then use manipulation or use our language manipulatively and insincerely, even with insincere flattery, ruin is what is coming as a result. And everyone's going to be affected eventually. And nothing good can come from that. So if we have a lying tongue, if it's just easy, if it's deflection, if it's shame, if it's just manipulation, if we are a person who's willing to either embellish the truth or diminish the actual truth in order to manipulate someone in some sort of way so that they believe something false, or in some sort of way to protect ourselves from a consequence, then Proverbs is saying one sentence that everybody's got to pay attention to, because in one way or another, all of us have to consider those words profoundly. Because the proverb is saying, look, falsehood is a result of hatred. Hatred is where this originates. You have to hate in some way someone you're going to lie to. We're hating the person we're lying to. That is a stark thing. We might even go like, nah, I don't know that that's true. I guess, well, just, you know, I don't know. I'm just here to read the Bible. I'm just reading it out of the scriptures. And what it's saying is pretty darn heavy. And that's plenty to carry. But it kind of goes on, like using manipulation, flattery, and to use it to kind of worm our way into another person's life for our own purposes. That is going to cause ruin to everyone. So we've hit this like little proverb, just a little proverb. You have to hate someone to want to hurt him with lies and insincere talk and speech. Being insincere in what you're saying brings nothing but ruin. That's a pretty heavy sentence that packs a pretty, like, that's a gut punch. And when we consider the implications of what it's saying in the light of, like, our inner selves and our true thoughts and desires, which the scriptures were bringing up yesterday, then we can see that this is a gut punch that is also a gift. And we can see how deeply the scriptures are able to challenge us to be aware of the impact that we are having. And so, Father, we invite you into that so deeply, so profoundly, so necessarily, and so difficultly. It is so hard. Like, we can read the scriptures and see the right way and be loaded up with all kinds of condemnation because we cannot possibly be perfect. That's not really the point, though. The point is to continually pull us on the narrow path that leads to life, to continually allow us to be challenged, because it all comes down to motive. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you once again into our words, our thoughts, and our actions, and the use of deception in those things. And we invite you to help us to begin to understand why we would need to hide. Because true freedom, ultimately, true freedom is that there is nothing to hide. And none of us are there. None of us are there. But at least we have a picture of what it looks like. And where we're headed and what we're going for. And what we can look forward to in our forever after. That we can have an existence and a consciousness that doesn't have anything to hide. And may we continue to do this work. As we continue to live day by day in the light and not in the darkness. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, Daily Audio Bible Community. This is Nicole, living Christ Redemption Story in Florida, and I have just so been enjoying Jill and Brian's travel logs across Greece and Turkey, and I've just loved listening to how they have just encountered so many different experiences and places, and walking in the footsteps of those people that we read about in the Bible, and the places that we read about, and how it's been so enlightening and made them think about things that they had not thought about in that way before. And it made me think about what it's going to be like when we experience heaven, because that was just a new place here on earth that they had never discovered before. But for us, what it will be like as brothers and sisters in Christ to see Jesus face to face for the first time and walk on those streets of gold and just all of the things. And as Jill has been kind of unpacking how it's making her realize that there's things that we hold so tightly in our belief system, and yet we don't really realize the full context of what we believe. And I think that even in our best attempts to understand that here on earth, we are just going to miss the full context until we see Him and until we experience that moment. And it gives me such peace for those that we have lost here on earth that have graduated to heaven. And the pain of those losses is so real, as we've all experienced, I'm sure. But just knowing that they are experiencing just this unbelievable amount of revelation, being on that side of heaven, it's just a beautiful thing. It just gives me a lot of peace for them and comfort for us that are left behind until we see them again. But anyway, thank you, Jill.
Hey, Debbers. It's Fearfully and Wonderfully Made from Winchester, Virginia. And Brian and Jill, you did it again. You so eloquently said, I think, what many of us are thinking right now about the book of Revelation. I, too, was taught to fear that book in the Bible. But as I'm sitting here watching what I think is Bible prophecy unfolding right now, it's not what I was told. And I think we were taught wrong, but I don't think it was a deliberate wrong teaching. I really believe that those around us that were teaching us these things really thought that they were right. But what we need to do is really lean on the Word of God and what it actually says, and know that regardless of what happens, God has this. Nothing is going to happen that He did not foretell us, and that He knows it. He's known it from the beginning of time. We know how this story ends. We know what is coming, and He's going to win in the end. And regardless of what happens here and now, the worst thing that could absolutely happen to us is to die and be separated from God. And as a child of God, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we win in the end. And either way, we win in the end. And Brian and Jill, thank you so much for what you do every day. I wish you safe travels, and I'm so glad to see you guys having such a wonderful time together. Be safe, Dabbers. I love each and every one of you, and everybody stay and be blessed. And just know, regardless of what happens, God has got us in His hands.
Hey, my beautiful Dab fam, this is KSD. This message goes out to a young man by the name of Dylan. I heard your call, man, and you've got a lot going on in your heart and your head, and I just wanna say to you, first of all, you matter. You matter to God. You matter to us. And you matter to those that are in your immediate sphere of influence. Whether you see it that way or not, you use the word feeling quite a bit. And I just want you to not put too much stock in your feelings. Because no matter how you feel, no matter what you think, you are loved by your Father in heaven. And we love you. So I want to encourage you to please get connected with a group of young men, older men, men that can come alongside of you and do life with you. Psalms 139 is a great place for you to kind of hang your hat, to know how God sees you, how he loves you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you've got to embrace that truth despite how you feel. Not negating your feelings, because they're real, but they don't control you. And you can't let them. So please get connected to a community of men. Father, be with Dylan. Walk with him. Talk with him and let him know that he is yours and you love him. In Jesus' name.
Shalom, shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is October 28th. Sherry called in and would like us to pray for her sons, John, and I'm not sure if it's Mitchell or Michael, but she just wanted us to lift them up. We pray that they will draw closer to our Lord and Savior, that he would show his light to them. And one of her sons is getting a divorce, unfortunately. Lord, we ask that you be in this situation, if it could be reconciled anyway. We ask for you to intervene. We ask that you be a Sherry, and she has the words to speak to her sons and direct them towards you, the light of the world. Paula called in, would like us to pray for her son. He has some interviews. We pray them at Fort Well, if they've already happened, that he will find a job and get his life turned around. And we pray again for him to also have faith to grow stronger in his word and draw closer to our Lord and Savior. Elizabeth called in, would like us to pray for her son, Brandon. He is having surgery for sleep apnea. So Lord, we ask that you be in this situation. We ask that you be with the surgeons. We ask that if this is your way to heal this young man, that this would be the way to do it so that he could get good sleep and rest that you, Lord, have told us that we need. So we're going to lift this all up to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, and God bless. And remember, the same Lord and Savior that saved us is the same Lord and Savior that can save our children.